You can be seated. I just want to say a few words to help us enter more deeply into this time of prayer with the Lord. Such a blessing to have a time of Eucharistic adoration. Jesus is with us always, but there is a significance to his presence in the Blessed Sacrament. He's only present in his body and blood in the Blessed Sacrament. You know, anybody here who's had a girlfriend knows that it's nicer to be with her in person than to talk to her on the phone, right? And here we are with Jesus in person. We are with him substantially. His body is here present, so it matters. But we have to engage that presence too. It's one of the things that God does is he never overwhelms us. God is so reverent toward our freedom. God loves our freedom. He loves our freedom even more than our salvation. He will allow us to lose our salvation, but he won't take away our freedom. And if we choose to use our freedom to destroy ourselves, then he'll let us do that. But he loves our freedom because it's only with our freedom that we can love him in return. Our freedom is the best part of us, but we so easily abuse it. But because he loves our freedom, Jesus doesn't come in an overwhelming way, suddenly appearing in whatever, lights and smoke and lightning and crashing and whatever else. He appears in this very humble and gentle way that doesn't even look like a person. When we look, we see bread. But we learn with eyes of faith that it's truly Jesus who is present. And again, that engages our freedom. You have the choice to doubt. You have the choice to disbelieve. Or you have the choice to believe. And to see here present God himself. So we're always engaging our freedom. And meditation is really a way of engaging our freedom in order to meet the Lord. We want to cultivate all of our human powers in such a way that we're able to encounter him. We have to open the door. We can think of it in those terms as well, that there's a door to our hearts that only has a doorknob on one side. That's on the inside. We have to make the choice to open that door to him. He'll knock and he'll knock and he'll knock, but he won't barge in. That's the way that he reverences our freedom. So how do we open the door? We open the door by entering into meditation, taking times like this in prayer. And Scripture is a very powerful way to do that. I hope that your discussion about the gospel for tomorrow was helpful. And it's very important to discuss Scripture and to kind of tease it apart and what does it mean and look at the Greek words if you're able to do that. There's a lot of insight we're able to gain or to compare it to other Scriptures. We read commentaries. But there's a way to learn to read Scripture that also helps us to encounter God in that Scripture passage. And that kind of meditation is so important for us. It's one of those ways that we open the doors of our hearts in order to truly encounter him. So that Scripture is not just a kind of abstract story about something else, but it really becomes a medium by which I meet him, by which I encounter him. And that way it's like, you know, we do a, I suppose everybody here does a little bit of Skype or FaceTime or something like that, right? Your iPad or your computer becomes a medium by which you have an encounter, not with a screen, right? You don't actually encounter the screen. You encounter the person that you're seeing through that screen. But a better quality software program and a better screen, a better computer is able to present that person and facilitate that encounter better. Well, Scripture is a kind of medium, we could say, a screen through which we are encountering not somebody across the United States, but somebody who is in heaven, I suppose, who is of truly a supernatural. It's a way to encounter God himself. But we have to know how to operate that screen, if you will, how to use that, allow Scripture to really communicate his presence to us, to be a living word for us. And in doing that, Scripture becomes a way that we can encounter his presence here too. If again, we just leave it at the physical level, if we just do scientific analysis, if we just study the light patterns and the chemical composition, then we won't find anything very interesting here. We need to learn to look with eyes of faith, and that always involves our freedom, the freedom to choose to believe. I believe you are present, Lord. And there's a point that we have to say that. It comes down to that. Do you believe? Do you believe that he is present? And if you do, then act accordingly. And when we start to do that, well, if that's really Jesus, then I can really speak to him. And I can really open my heart to him. And what would he look like? And does he stay there? Does he come close to me? What does he do? Is that, if that's really Jesus, then I can ask him anything. And we can really have a heart-to-heart with the Lord. But that's the challenge for us, really, anytime we come in prayer. And in a certain way, in a particular way, when we have the opportunity for Eucharistic adoration. But one of the ways to facilitate that encounter is also to combine that with Scripture. It's very beautiful to allow the words of Jesus, you know, Scripture are the words of God. God speaks to us in Scripture, and the presence of God to be combined. We can allow him to speak to us by reading Scripture at the same time that we allow him to look at us, as it were, in the Blessed Sacrament, in his body and blood. So it's wonderful to combine these two things. And again, for the sake of encounter, it's not just a bunch of ideas, but it's really a relationship, face to face. And we want to facilitate that encounter. You can sit here and think about Pac-Man or Pokemon Go. That's the exciting thing. Probably dying to know if it's, you know, Pokemon's here in this chapel. I understand the Basilica is a Pokemon gym. I don't know if you've figured that out yet. I don't even know what a Pokemon gym is. But anyway, apparently the Basilica is one of those. So you have people with cell phones in the Basilica doing something with their Pokemon things. But much more interesting than Pokemon with the cell phone is the presence of the living God that we see through the cell phone of faith, if you will, that help us to encounter God truly present in our midst and to meet him and to listen to him and to give our lives to him. To have that surrender to him. Pope Francis, in his message for World Youth Day, spoke very beautifully about this. He said to us, Jesus is waiting for you. He has confidence in you and is counting on you. He has so many things to say to each of you. Do not be afraid to look into his eyes, full of infinite love for you. Open yourselves to his merciful gaze, so ready to forgive all your sins. A look from him can change your lives and heal the wounds of your souls. He's really inviting us to use our imagination. What does it look like to look into the eyes of Jesus? We're going to start, of course, from our experience of looking into the eyes of someone else. And maybe, I hope, some of you fathers and sons have had a chance. You've looked into each other's eyes at some point, and your heart is filled with love. You've known that you've been loved. You've looked into maybe the eyes of a woman, and you've known that you've been loved, and your heart has filled with love. There's something about looking into eyes that matters when we engage someone in their eyes. And when someone looks at us, and we feel like they're really looking into our souls, I don't know if you've had that experience, but it's very powerful. What would that be like? What would that feel like? That's what Pope Francis is inviting us into. Allow Jesus to look into your eyes that way and gaze into your souls. And don't be afraid. He does it only with love. He does, in fact, see everything. And if there are things we're trying to desperately cover up, we're going to be very resistant to letting him look into our eyes. But when we're confident in his mercy and we know that there's nothing he sees which will disqualify us, but that what he sees he also delights in, he wants first of all to delight in us. And we allow him to look into our eyes with that merciful gaze. Pope Francis goes on, he says, his eyes can quench the thirst that dwells deep in your young hearts, a thirst for love, for peace, for joy, for true happiness. Come to him and do not be afraid. Come to him and say from the depths of your hearts, Jesus, I trust in you. Let yourselves be touched by his boundless mercy, so that in turn you may become apostles of mercy by your actions, words, and prayers in our world, wounded by selfishness, hatred, and so much despair. Now what happens, and I'm going to lead you in a little meditation with some scripture, so I hope that God will help you and you'll be willing and have that kind of encounter with him that I'm describing. And what happens when we have this kind of meditation or this kind of encounter, even from the words of Pope Francis, maybe you've already had some images and a sense, some things happening in your hearts as you hear these words and you imagine the eyes of Jesus gazing into your own eyes. And we have a glimpse where I just am captured for a moment and I see his gaze and I look into his eyes. And that flash, like a photograph, can stay with me. And that's something that, as we have a little bit of time for meditation in a holy hour, for example, but we get an image like that, we can keep revisiting that image over and over and over again. That may be the way that we spend the rest of an hour, just allowing him to look at us and looking at his eyes in return, having him smile, forgive us, embrace us. And it might just be a little loop like that. Don't we do that with other relationships? You've had an encounter with a girl, for example, or maybe an experience of mercy. You've had a victory on the field, and you get that trophy, or you catch that final touchdown pass. And we replay those moments, those profound moments, over and over again. And we can stay in those things. Now, we have to be a little careful about staying in some of those things. We can become a little bit narcissistic. But when we have these encounters in prayer with Jesus, glimpses, images, those experiences, we keep coming back to that. Sometimes it gets tied together with some words. Pope Francis gave us some beautiful words that St. Faustina recorded and etched beneath that image of divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. And maybe that's what comes out in your prayer as you encounter him and you feel his gaze, you know his love, and you feel strong, like you can do what we were talking about earlier, change the world. You can go out and make a real difference in life. You can engage in something great. And there's a little bit of fear there as well. And you just say, okay, Lord, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. And we just freeze frame that with that image, some words, Jesus, I trust in you. And that can be something, again, we may spend the rest of the time in prayer just coming back to those words, back to that image, just holding right there in our encounter with him. And it might be something that you come back to later tonight. Now, we're going to go from the holy hour to a pizza social. We'll have a chance to interact a little bit, have some food. We'll be talking. And you're going to drift a little bit away from this experience of prayer, but maybe you get back into your room and you close your eyes again and you see that image of Jesus looking into your eyes, not somebody else's eyes, into your eyes. Jesus, I trust in you. And we make that gift again of yourself to him. And that's the way, as we continue to repeat and revisit, as we go deeper in these experiences, that's how we start to move toward that contemplative path of union, where we are moving through that purification, just to take time, a whole weekend here, and so much time in prayer starts to purify us. We get a little antsy, and we have other things we want to do, and we get, you know, I don't want to be here, and this kind of, we die to that, and we choose to be here, and already that purification starts to happen, and we start to get a different way of looking at things through the eyes of mercy. And then we start to become a little bit more united. We have those moments, those encounters, those touches, glimpses, words, opening our hearts. And then as we go back to those and revisit those, it becomes more habitual, more a part of us. It enfolds us more and more into his life. And his life becomes my life, and my life becomes his life. So we can say with St. Paul, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So that's what we're aiming for. Now, this is not entirely in our control. Just like every other relationship, there's two people at work here, and I want all of you to have this kind of experience in our time of prayer right now. Jesus knows what's best. He knows where the resistance is in your heart. He knows what the perfect timing is. He knows what he's doing. But anyway, I want to facilitate as much as possible that kind of encounter with him, and then give you a sense of how to remain in that and what to do with that. So I want to look at a passage from Scripture, Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. It's just a very brief passage. And one of the ways that we can pray with Scripture, this is a way that St. Ignatius popularized, so it's often called an Ignatian way of prayer, is to actually place ourselves in the Scripture passage. Again, that's one of the ways that we can keep it from just being something abstract out there, and it actually becomes something that I'm personally involved in. That's what we want to do, is become more personally involved in the Scripture. And then it can be a way that we really encounter Jesus, that we have a face-to-face with him. So I'm going to read the passage and then just lead you on a little meditation. And again, I encourage you, you may want to close your eyes. It probably helps if you close your eyes, actually, and just allow yourself to imagine some of these things. I'm going to give you some pieces to work with, and you know, it'd be great if you revisit that. You can allow it to take its own path and unfold in the way that Jesus is speaking to you personally. He's not saying the same thing to all of us. So I'll just read over the passage first and then just lead you in the meditation. Jesus and his disciples came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind man, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have pity on me." Many rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he kept calling out all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, get up, he is calling you." He threw aside his cloak, sprang up, and came to Jesus. Jesus said to him in reply, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man replied to him, "Master, I want to see." Jesus told him, "Go your way. Your faith has saved you." Immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way. If we were just doing this on our own, the Lord could lead us into any of these different characters. We have the disciples, we have the crowd, we have Jesus, we have the blind man. But for the sake of our meditation, I'm going to take us into the position of the blind man. And just want to invite you to place yourselves on that roadside. What's the weather like? Sunny, rainy, what's the weather like? There's no wrong answer. You're allowing the Holy Spirit to lead this. What's the roadside like? Grass, dirt, rocks? How big is that crowd? Scripture said it was a sizable crowd. A lot of people, a lot of noise. Everybody kind of moving around Jesus. He's a blind man. He doesn't see the crowd. He only hears the crowd. Let yourself be that blind man sitting on the side of the road. You hear the crowd coming by. You hear the name Jesus. People are calling out his name. He's healed so many. You've heard about him. So many people have passed by this way and you've heard his name before. They're calling for him. And you know that he himself is finally coming close to you. You've longed for this moment because you know that he has the power to heal you. As a blind man, all you can do is be on the side of the road begging. But Jesus, he could give you a new life. He could set you free. And you know that he is coming close to you. Feel that anticipation in your heart, that excitement, the urgency that makes you cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me. Try to imagine yourself saying those words, Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me. Try to imagine them rising up from deep in your heart, a heart that's thirsting, longing, to encounter this Jesus that you've heard so much about. Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me. Look at me. Help me. Come to me. These are the things that you feel. And in response, you hear rebukes. Quiet. Silent. Be quiet. Don't disturb him. What's wrong with you? Can you feel that rejection? Can you feel that resistance? Maybe you've received that from a sibling. Maybe you've received that from a friend, so-called. Feel that resistance. But Jesus is your one chance. He is the one that can bring you hope and salvation, a new life. He's the one that can help you with the problem that you struggle with. And so feel yourself pushing through that resistance, all of that resistance. Son of David, have pity on me. And then something changes in the crowd. You can't see anything, but you hear faintly a new voice, the voice of Jesus saying, call him. And you know that Jesus has heard your cry. You can't see, but you hear, and you know that Jesus has heard your cry. He hasn't walked past you. He hasn't ignored you like so many others. He knows your pain. He knows your struggle. He knows how much you need him. And he stops. Call him. Now you hear the others responding, calling you over. Take courage. Get up. He is calling you, they say to you. Take courage. It already took so much courage to get to this point. Take courage, they say. Get up. Now all of the attention is on you, and you're a blind beggar, and you feel your unworthiness. You feel the discomfort of having so much attention on you. But you do take courage because you know that no matter what they think, Jesus is calling you. And so you throw aside your cloak and spring up and come to Jesus. Now you're standing there. It's like the whole world has melted away. It's just you and him. You can't see him, but you smell him. You hear his voice. He reaches out, puts hand on your shoulder. You know his touch. You feel the gentleness of his presence and the safety of being close to him, the safety of his protection. You know that he has chosen you. He wants to speak to you. He has called you. And all of the other voices, all of the other people melt away. It's just you and him. Just you and him. Just like it is here in this chapel. Just you and him. He's right there in front of you. Your heart is beating with anticipation. And he speaks. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? That's what Jesus asks you tonight. What do you want me to do for you? Can you answer that question from your heart? What do you want from him? He can do what you ask. But search deeply. What do you really want? What do you most deeply want? This is your chance to speak to him. What's the deepest desire of your heart?